The next case on the docket, which is appeal number 082607, United States versus Samuel Steed Truitt.
Morning, Your Honor.
Mr. Schmidt, may it please the court. Defendant appellant contends that the district court erroneously enhanced his sentence by four levels based on the guideline provision that 2K2.1 parentheses B6 that he possessed the pipe bomb in connection with another felony offense, that being the Indiana felony offense of intimidation. Gall teaches that the district court must provide an accurate guideline computation, and failing that, the matter should be remanded for resentencing. That's one of the errors that the Gall court listed in its decision. We acknowledge that the court, when reviewing a district court's factual findings, is awarded great deference, or must award great deference, and may only reverse for clear error. In other words, it must be firmly convinced that a mistake was made, and that is the position that we find ourselves in. We believe that a mistake was made. This case involves the testimony of Natalie Vella concerning a threat that Mr. Steed allegedly made to her, a threat, and she testified in her direct testimony to Mr. Schmidt that he told me he was going to use that bomb to harm me and my two children. On cross-examination, Ms. Vella testified that he would use that bomb on me, and he would hate to have to be able to bring her kids into it. There was also some discussion in her testimony that she interpreted some comments that Mr. Steed made about planting drugs on him. In redirect, she answered yes to a yes-no question asked by Mr. Steed, whether it was in her interpretation that the threat was made in connection with his drug activities.
But, of course, there was some other testimony, like the testimony of Joshua Whitaker, who said that Steed told him he had threatened his girlfriend and her family with the pipe bomb. The Elkhart police officer who testified that Steed admitted making the pipe bomb and using meth. So there was some corroboration for her. This didn't just rest on her testimony.
Well, I don't believe there was corroboration, Your Honor.
The
making of a threat, or the making of a threat to commit an aggravated felony, is just one of the elements under the Indiana statute of intimidation. That threat must be accompanied or motivated by an intent that the other person be placed in fear of retaliation for a prior lawful act. That prong does not exist in this case, or engage in conduct against the person's will. The government argues and argued to the court, and the court found that the intent was present to dissuade Ms. Vella from telling the police about his drug activities. There was some evidence presented by the two jailhouse witnesses that he had manufactured methamphetamine. Ms. Vella testified not only on her testimony before the court, but in a recording of an interview made to Elkhart police officers and recorded and admitted by the defendant, where she said on two occasions during that interview that Mr. Steed did not make or manufacture methamphetamine. What's missing in this case, and the critical hole in this case, is context. there was no evidence that she intended or threatened to tell on Mr. Steed or to bring his drug usage to the light of law enforcement authorities. And when you think of it, since she admitted that she consumed methamphetamine on that particular evening, that would be in her against her best interest as well. So without clear evidence or some evidence of her intention to take some action to his detriment, there's no context for the threat to be directed or to influence her to engage in conduct against her will. No threat to encourage her to be silent when she is present, willing, and able to talk to law enforcement about his drug activities. So without that, without any indication that she had threatened or that she had intended to bring this information to law enforcement, there's nothing to predicate a violation of Indiana law, a violation of intimidation. So this argument is fairly simple. This court has to look to see if there's any factual basis to support that enhancement, and we contend that there isn't, and that there's a complete failing of the intent element of the Indiana statute defining intimidation. That is, that Mr. Steed tried to get her to engage in conduct against her will. And the court gave a below-guideline sentence, but the reasons enunciated by the court would still exist without this enhancement. So we feel that if the court, on a resentence, is informed by this court that its finding that Mr. Schmidt is possessed this device in connection with another felony offense was erroneous, the district court would start at a much lower guideline and then apply the 3553 factors starting. And social science teaches us that when you do the calculation of the guideline, a certain anchoring appears. And the Supreme Court and this court has said that when you seek to do a variance, the greater the variance, the greater the justification. And when you start from a higher guideline level than you should have, that limits the amount of variance that the court feels is justified based on the evidence. So it's our request that the court reverse the sentence and remand this case back for resentencing. Are there any questions from the court?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt.
May it please the court. The standard of review here is crucial because that standard of review is clear error. And here, the district court didn't err at all, much less commit clear error, because the district court relied on not one witness, but multiple witnesses who testified at the sentencing hearing, relied on physical evidence that was presented at the sentencing hearing, and relied on prior recorded statements that were taken at the time the pipe bomb was recovered. Let me just review these briefly with you. Natalie Vella, the victim and the defendant's girlfriend in the case, testified under oath at the sentencing hearing that Samuel Steed, the defendant, threatened to blow up her and her two children if she told on him regarding his drug activities, his methamphetamine use, and his methamphetamine manufacturing and distribution. Another witness, Joshua Whitaker, testified that Samuel Steed told him that he had threatened to blow up Natalie Vella and her two children. Joshua Whitaker also said that Samuel Steed told him that he manufactured meth. And, of course, it was undisputed at the sentencing that Samuel Steed was an illegal user of methamphetamine. A third witness, Dion Collins, testified that Samuel Steed told him that he manufactured and distributed methamphetamine. In addition, the police recovered the pipe bomb that was used to threaten Natalie Vella, and they had to disarm it. They literally disrupted it with a pan disruptor and caught this on video. Now, the police also arrested Mr. Steed on the date that the pipe bomb was recovered with methamphetamine on his person. So the testimony of Natalie Vella that she was threatened with the pipe bomb was well corroborated. And as a matter of the clear error standard, credibility determinations and the defense's attack on her credibility on this particular area of her testimony can virtually never be clear error. The other tack that the defense takes is somehow arguing that the prerequisites for felony intimidation under Indiana law weren't met here. But they were. Section 35-45-2-1 under the Indiana Code says that a person who communicates a threat to another person with the intent that the other person engage in conduct against the person's will commits a Class D felony if the threat is to commit a forcible felony. Here, Mr. Steed communicated a threat. He said, "I'm going to blow up you and your children if you tell on me." And the blowing up of Miss Vella and her two children was a forcible felony, the unlawful harming and killing of them. He communicated the threat, and it was to keep them silent. The Indiana courts have held that keeping a person silent is intent that the other person engage in conduct against their will. Specifically in Johnson versus State at 717 Northeast 2nd, 887 at page 890, the Indiana Court of Appeal held, "We note that intimidation has traditionally encompassed threats made with the intent that someone remain silent and refrain from acting." That's exactly what happened here. Mr. Steed didn't want Natalie Vella, who was angry, they were angry at each other, having an argument, didn't want her to go to the police about his illegal activities, his methamphetamine manufacturing, his distribution, and his personal use. And he threatened to blow her up with a pipe bomb that he had made illegally a couple of months before and still possessed. Natalie Vella told the police about that pipe bomb, and then she testified about what happened. There simply was no error by the district court, and the four-level enhancement for possession of a firearm, in this case an illegally made pipe bomb, 6-inch pipe bomb made with Pyrodex and a fuse and end caps, was used in connection with another felony offense, that is felony intimidation under Indiana law. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Truitt?
Your Honor, the only thing I would reiterate is the record is totally devoid of any evidence that Ms. Vella ever threatened Mr. Steed with going to the police or enunciated a threat. The only evidence is when Mr. Schmidt asked her, "So it's your understanding that Mr. Steed threatened you to keep you from telling the police about his drug activities?" And she said, "That's how I understand it." But there were two other instances when she was asked to specifically state what Mr. Steed said, and both of them were somewhat inconsistent, other than that he planned on using the bomb on her and her kids. But there was some talk about he accused me of planting drugs on him. I mean, at no time did she tell anyone that it was her intention, as a result of this argument or otherwise, to go to the police and inform them of Mr. Steed's drug activities. Without that, then you can make all the threats you want, but you don't violate Indiana criminal law of intimidation. And we feel that because that element, that evidence, is totally lacking, that Judge Miller committed clear error when he determined that Mr. Steed possessed this pipe bomb in connection with another felony offense. Thank you.
And Mr. Truitt, you were appointed here.
I am a federal defender, a community defender, so this is part of my job.
Part of your job. Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation. Thank you to both sides, and we'll now proceed.